Here at last, quite fittingly, at the last Sunday of Ordinary Time, and before we begin a new liturgical year, we are blessed to celebrate the final gesture, the final feature of the end times, which we commemorate during the month of November, and the last detail of Revelation, the revelation of Christ as our King. A day is coming when our Savior will return and finalize the kingdom He's already started to build. He will no longer be a prophet or a priest to us, or at least not in He will not behave as one, only as an everlasting sovereign. And as part of our celebrating and pondering Jesus as King, it's also essential for us to consider, when we look at the lessons we read today, what it means to be a member of that kingdom. What is the makeup of that sovereignty? What is it composed, and who are the subjects going to be? And to answer those questions, when we look where the Gospel of Matthew ends in terms of Jesus' teaching ministry, just as we're on the cusp of the Gospel where it turns towards the Passion narratives, we consider that quite closely and attentively, the final judgment. When our Savior returns, Matthew writes that there will be no more veils, no more mysteries. St. Paul says, for now we see as through a dim mirror, but soon we shall see face to face. The final crescendo of Revelation will be exposed in Jesus' return, escorted by all the angels of heaven. A grandiose vision that will be. And when he takes his seat in glory, the shepherding description that the prophet Ezekiel provides to us that we read about today, it reappears in the prophecy that Jesus gives us in the final judgment. He will separate as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And the criterion by which he separates is not described so much as the separation of the virtuous from the righteous, the virtuous from the vicious, but more precisely, a separation between the merciful and the unmerciful. Those who elect to love neighbor in the most unlovable of situations, separated from those who love only when it conveniently serves them. At the end of our life, we will be judged on love, that is, on our concrete commitment to love and serve Jesus in our littlest and neediest brothers and sisters, that beggar, that needy person who reaches out his hand as Jesus did, that sick person whom I must visit as Jesus, that inmate who is Jesus, that hungry person who is Jesus. This is what we're called to consider when we hear this final lesson before Jesus conquers makes his final gesture with the cross. While the material of this passage could fill volumes, as many, many theologians certainly have, I think, one detail of the narrative of the final judgment that always amazes me, is how both the sheep and the goats have the same expression of seeming, like a seeming confusion. They both share the same expression. Lord, when did we see you? When did we see you? I've always wondered about this. It would make sense, perhaps, that those who are unmerciful, those who are unfaithful, those who are indifferent towards the commission of discipleship, the calling of the gospel, that they would say this. That they would be oblivious, and since they had been oblivious through all of life, that yes, they would also say it at the time of judgment. But why do you see the same expression come from the faithful? Well, the answer that I'll give is, keep in mind, my theology remains in the realm of speculation. I'm not a theologian, certainly not even a published theologian. But, you know, while both, you know, I'll wager this explanation, that while the both parties give a seemingly identical expression of bewilderment, only one of the parties is perplexed. The other inquires with wonderment. While it's the latter who certainly say, "Lord, when did we ever notice you? When did we ever," which is another way of saying, "when did we ever care to notice?" It's the former, those who are likened as sheep, who are probably asking, "Lord, when did this happen?" Meaning, review with me all the moments once again where I had a chance to see you, where I had a chance to live with you, to extend the compassion of my own hands as you extended your ultimate compassion of the hands on the cross. Can I relive those moments again? And we surely will. And it will be a peaceful reminder. Of course, you know, as we're taught, you know, the final days will come with a kind of bittersweet experience in that, you know, we will see as not only the moments in which we have failed to love, or excuse me, the moments which we have loved, we will see the moments where we have missed out. I had one of the theologians, the Jesuit theologians who helped form me to be a priest, you know, said to me, you know, that's the one thing that he fears. It's not the thought of condemnation. That wasn't the sentiment that he was expressing, but the thought of seeing all the opportunities that he missed out on, or just the moments that passed him by, where he could have done just maybe a little, or expressed, you know, the love of Jesus just that much more. It's going to be a bittersweet moment, but the bitterness certainly will not be equivalent nor outweigh the sweetness for those who are faithful and keep clinging with open ears and open mouths to the nourishment of the altar. Those who keep listening, like Mary did at the feet of Jesus, and then are made ready, as Martha did, to say, "Thy will be done," and carry our crosses with him, we will be ready to see those who are in the neediest of situations, those Christ calls the least of these, my brothers. But we must also always, as we close this year, as we begin another year marked by Advent, a time of preparation, keep in mind that we must always ask for that wisdom. If you review the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's a reason why wisdom is listed the first among the seven. Because if we can see every moment as our Savior does, and we see it with true sincerity, then the other gifts, all the other virtues, will come naturally. As we come to a conclusion this year, let's give thanks to God for the opportunities we've had. But pray earnestly that we do not miss out on a single opportunity we've been afforded. And let us look to our patroness, Our Lady of Hope, to keep our chin up, keep our hearts lifted, and to be instruments that raise the hearts of all others who look for the loving shepherd. Thanks be to God.